This passage finishes off, as you could see in verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. The start of the passage was, it was a number of weeks ago when we looked at the first part of chapter 8, but you remember the first part of chapter 8, if you just scan there quickly, there was that woman that's caught in adultery, and the Pharisees in their hypocrisy had come and had kind of tried to put this woman before Jesus to make him, you know, to catch him in a trap. So there's, you might say, there's the darkness of that whole situation. And then Jesus speaks in our Bibles from verse 12 through to 29. And the outcome is many believed in him. Didn't happen through miracles. It didn't happen through great oratory or anything like that. It just happened through some words that Jesus spoke in what we have recorded for us in these verses. People believed in him. That's why Jesus came into the world. Remember, he is the Word of God. The Word comes, and he comes into the darkness, and he shines in the darkness, and people believe. They believe in him. And so what we need to do is we need to let Jesus speak this morning that we might hear and listen, and by faith also come to see the light. Because we ask ourselves this morning, don't we? Like are we in darkness? Maybe this morning you've come, or you're following us online. You don't understand the gospel. Why do people in this church make so much of Jesus? What's that all about? Well, if you listen, allow God to help you see the light. But it's not just true if we don't understand the gospel. Many of us here have been here for years and years, and maybe we do understand the gospel, but often the light of Jesus is dimmed, not because he is dimmed, because he is bright, he is a bright light, but often we put our spiritual sunglasses on so that it just seems dimmed. We've lost sight of the glories of Christ. We've lost sight of his glories. He doesn't shine as he did in our eyes. Not because he shines less, but because we've dulled our eyes to him. We've lost the joy and the celebration of Jesus. And so this morning, we want to see the light again and see the effect this light has on you and me and on our lives. 3 points as I have them in the bulletin there. The light seen, the light shines, and the light followed. So firstly, the light seen. Now, this was quite a few weeks ago, because I've been a bit in and out of the pulpit over the past weeks. Next week I'm out again, and after that hopefully it's a little bit more regular for a while. But it was a number of weeks ago when we looked at chapter 7, and remember the context of chapter 7 is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, children, maybe you remember the Feast of Tabernacles was where the people of Israel would come to Jerusalem, and they would build these kind of shelters, almost like tents, all over the city. And they would live in them for a week. And it would be this great celebration. And one of the things they did at that celebration was there would be this kind of procession every day. They would go from the temple to the Pool of Siloam, and the priest would come, and he would take this jug full or a flask, a golden flask, and he would fill it up with water. And the people would sing and chant things like, you know, out of the draw water out of the wells of salvation. And then they would all, in this great procession, go back to the temple, and they would pour the water out over the altar. And the whole idea of that was to remind the people of Israel and to remember the 40 years of wandering that they had done in the wilderness. Now, of course, that was their ancestors. But the nation had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, and there, every day, God provided for them. He provided water. And of course, Jesus said, "I am the. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink." And we looked at that, but you'll have to go back to the sermon if you want to hear that again. But there was another kind of, you would say, a celebration that happened at that week of Feast of Tabernacles as well. At night, every night, there would be a some lampstands in the temple. Now you've got to remember, those Jerusalem at that time didn't have streetlights like we do today, right? Like, we go out at night in Dunedin and you can see where you're going. Well, in those days there was no such thing as streetlights, right? So if you want to go out, you need some sort of torch. I mean, they called them torches in those days, but they're not like a battery torch like we have. They're just a fire. You'd hold it on a stick, and then you would kind of walk around so you can see where you're going. Well, they would every night in the temple, they would light these torches. They were great pillars in the temple, and it would light up a huge area throughout the city as well. They would have different torches around the city, and there would most people would come to the temple, and there they would have a celebration. They would sing praises to God and so forth. Again, it was a reminder about God's care of the people of Israel through the wilderness. Remember, when the people of Israel were wandering through the wilderness, God led them. He showed them how to and where to go. Now, during the day, it was a pillar of cloud, remember? And at night, it was a pillar of fire. You can imagine back in when the people of Israel were wandering through the desert. You know, there's over 1 million people, probably 2 or 3 million people, it's estimated, that walked through the desert, of the people of Israel that walked through the desert. There was, you know, you can imagine, you know, somebody in your family is sick, maybe, and every day the people of Israel are marching or walking. But you know, you guys are sick, and so your family stays put. They say, well, you guys carry on, the camp carries on, but we're going to stay put for a few days until we're better, and then we'll catch up. Right, and so you're kind of left behind for a while, but way up ahead, you see, at night at least, you see a fire burning. You know where the camp is, and so once everybody's better, you know where to go. You know how to travel. You know where the camp is going. Or maybe you're a shepherd and you've got some sheep, and there's nothing for the sheep to eat where the camp of Israel is. So you're wandering on the outskirts. You find pastures here and there for your sheep to graze as the camp is moving on. And at night, you can kind of keep an eye on how far away from the camp you are by this great light that's shining through the darkness, in the darkness. And so the ceremony there, for the people of Israel, was to remind them of these wilderness wanderings. And so in the middle of this, you can picture the celebration, and you can picture the kind of the scene. And in the middle of this, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light, that light that shone in the wilderness for those people of Israel. That was me. That was pointing to me, the great light that would one day come. If you want to find God, Jesus is saying, look for the light. I am the light. If you want to know how to have eternal life, look for the light. I am the light. In your world of darkness, you need light. And Jesus says, I am that light. Now, Jesus is having a debate, you might see, with the Pharisees. At least the opposition to Jesus is growing. And so the Pharisees, when they hear what Jesus is saying, they know what he's thinking. I mean, they know what he's going on about. But so they say to him, basically, verse 13, prove it, right? You're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. You need 2 or 3 witnesses to prove that what you say is true. You're just saying it yourself. How can we believe it? Prove it. But notice what Jesus does with that. When they ask him to basically prove it, he says, look at my witness. My proof is me. I know where I came from. You don't. He says that because he says, well, you're making judgments according to the flesh. We read that in verse 15. You're judging according to the flesh. You've got darkened eyes. You can't see clearly. You don't have all the evidence. You have mere human evidence. You have fleshly eyes. You need spiritual eyes. Or you go down to verse 16. even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father. Down to verse 18. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And so he's saying, look, I am the witness, but my witness is exactly the same witness as the Father. You don't believe that I'm the light of the world? I and the Father are one. I and the Father say the same things because I am God. Now the Pharisees, of course, think that he's asking about his earthly father. So they ask him, well, where is your father? And Jesus says, well, you don't even know my father. Because you have these fleshly eyes. You're looking from a worldly perspective. You see, what this passage is about, as Jesus is proving that he's the light of the world, this passage is really saying Jesus' relationship with Father is the key to seeing Jesus as the light of the world. I'll say that again because that's really important. Jesus' relationship with his Father is the key to seeing Jesus as the light of the world. In other words, if you don't see, and that's what he says to these Pharisees and to the Jews, if you don't see that I and the Father are one, that our witness is exactly the same, that we say the same things, then you will never see that I am the light of the world. You will never see the way to the Father. You will never see the way of eternal life. And you can see how this is true. If you think about, if I can just illustrate this for a few moments, if you think about your last name. Now, my last name is Stolter, right? So why do I have that name? I have that name because my father had that name. And because my father had that name, that kind of gives, a lot of who he is in me. As much as sometimes I don't like that idea, as some children have as well, right? We don't really like some of the things that our father does, but we find them in ourselves as well. But that's the way it's like with Jesus as well. Because Jesus, in Jesus' relationship with his Father, if you want to know who Jesus really is, you need to know the Father. If you know the Father, you will know who Jesus really is. And unless you see that relationship, you cannot see Jesus as the light of the world. And you will not be attracted to that light. That's why the remainder of the passage, he goes on to say, I'm going back to where I came from. You don't know where I'm going. I'm going back to heaven because that's where I came from. I belong there. That's where my Father is. That's where I belong. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God himself. And when you believe that, you will have eternal life. That's been the theme of the book of John. I've mentioned a number of times as we've been making our way through this book of John. These things are written, John says in chapter 20, verse 31. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. When you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you will have life in his name. We need to see who Jesus is. And we see that in his relationship with his Father. Secondly, the light shines. Now the problem is, a lot of people don't see that. Don't see that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, in verse 15, if we go back there, you are judging according to earthly standards, or you're judging according to the flesh, says Jesus. Jesus is kind of saying, well, you're putting me in the dock, and in a courtroom kind of setting, you're putting me in a dock and you've got all this evidence against me. And Jesus is kind of saying, well, actually, you've got the wrong evidence. Because you've got evidence from a worldly perspective. But I come from God. I am God. If you have the wrong evidence, the whole court case is going to be skewed. If you can't access the right evidence, you're not going to get the right outcome. And so Jesus says, you are from below. If I was merely from below, you could use earthly standards by which to judge me. But you can't, because I'm from above. And you need heavenly standards with which to judge me. And the problem is, you see, the world is infected with sin. You're infected with sin, and I'm affected with sin. And that's the problem with the flesh, right? It's our evidence, our judgment, our sight is skewed. We are blind. We're groping around in darkness, and we need to see the light. And the only way we can see the light is if we've had our hearts renewed. If we've been born of God, John chapter 1, verse 13, those who are born of God, or John chapter 3, those who have been born again. Remember Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. You need to be born again to see the kingdom of God. We need to have the scales of our eyes removed. How do we do that? How can we see Jesus for what he really is? To see, if I can say, the true evidence. We need to ask, firstly, that the Lord would help us see. But also, we can only see this really through the cross. Jesus said, verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own authority, and I do it, but speak as the Father has taught me. Because you see, the cross, Jesus eventually goes to the cross, doesn't he? And at the cross, what do we see? At the cross, we see who we are. We see our problem. We see our sin. And we realize we've got nowhere to go. But at the cross also, we can see what God does with sin. There is punishment. There is judgment that needs to be dealt out for sin. But then the cross also tells us of the love and the mercy of God, the incredible mercy and love of God, that he would give his only son and pour his judgment on him. His son would take our sin and have the judgment and the punishment poured out on him. That's the love of God, and that's what draws us to him. This is where the light shines. It shines at the cross because we start to see who Jesus really is there. And the results of that are huge. If I can go back to verse 12, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. That means the world needs the light. It needs the. We put our trust in our politicians, in our armies to protect us, and our politicians to help us get through financial situations. And so we put our trust in all kinds of things in this world. But Jesus says, what you really need, ultimately what you need, is me, the light. And this is for the world. In other words, for all, for everyone, all people, all who live in darkness. He is the light that shines brightly, that we are drawn to. And Jesus, as it were, calls all men to himself. And he says, come to me. As he shines brightly, he draws people to himself. Come to me. As we know well those verses, if you're part of this church, in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All who are heavy laden, all who are in darkness, all who are fumbling, stumbling around, Jesus calls to himself. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what sins still stain you, Jesus says, come to me, the light of the world. And so this morning, you know, you might be in the dark, and you might wonder if you're good enough, or if you're old enough, or if you're clever enough. But those are not hindrances to coming to Jesus. Jesus says to all, come to me. Come to the light, and you will not walk in darkness. We look at that finally and thirdly, the light followed. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's all well and good. I mean, we can probably handle Jesus being the Son of God. You know, we can have our debates about that and things like that. But, oh, Jesus is the Son of God, or he's not the Son of God. And, well, if you believe he's the Son of God, it's all well and good. It's very nice. Let's just agree to get on. That's, you know, if that's what it means that I have to have, if eternal life means that I have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, well, okay, I can handle that. I'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and then I can have eternal life. But why do people still have issue with this? I remember a number of years ago, I'll just use an illustration to get to that point. A number of years ago, I was talking with someone about the faith, and you know, to see who Christ is and to follow him. And that person said, well, you know, it actually kind of makes sense. I mean, it makes a lot more sense, the Christian faith, than, for example, evolution or materialism. I mean, there's just no hope there. There's no future, and it just, the whole world just doesn't make sense. And I can see that. I can see the Christian faith, and I can probably see it's probably right. And I'm pushing them and trying to get them to commit. And then, why not? Why won't you? And I couldn't really get an answer. But it had to do, eventually I kind of found it had to do with the implications. Right? Because the implications are huge. Because that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. Yeah, we can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But what does that mean for you and for me now? In the here and now? What does this mean for my life? It means that I'm not my own anymore. Jesus says in this passage in verse 12, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. To follow Jesus is not a casual relationship. When you see that he is the light, there is not kind of this distance between me and Jesus, and we kind of just tag along and see how it goes. Imagine for a moment you're in a, excuse me, my throat's a bit funny. You're in a dark cave, okay? You're walking through a long tunnel, maybe in a dark cave. You look back and you can't see the entrance. You look forward, you can't see the end of it, and you don't know how far it is, how long it is. And you pick up you're stumbling around because there's no light, and you pick up a stone and you kind of throw it. And it takes a long time, and you hear a clunk, and you realize that wherever you threw that thing is a long way down. And so you're walking very, very carefully. You know, you're every step, you're just making sure that it's going the right way, and that you're not hitting your head into a wall, or you're not going to slip off into some abyss down below. And then somebody produces a torch. And suddenly this person, you're in a group, right? You're in a group of friends maybe, and suddenly this person is your best friend, right? Because they've got the torch. And you'll gravitate toward this person with a torch, and you hang on to that person for dear life. You link arms with that person. You want to walk arm in arm, and you don't want to let them weigh in the distance or anything like that. You hold on to them. And so Jesus here as well is saying, I am the light of the world, and when you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. Well, if that's the case, if we're walking in darkness and he's the light and he shines the way, surely that's the one we hold on to and we link arms with and we don't let go. You can't have a relationship with Jesus kind of in this casual, distant kind of relationship. the original word is a present participle if you're interested in grammar. But it's kind of this idea of a wholehearted following, a wholehearted discipleship. It's all in, boots and all. Continuous. I am the light, Jesus says, so follow me. Keep trusting in me. Obey as I obey. Do what I do. Be where I want you to be. Say what I say. Suffer what I suffer. Trust, depend, believe in me. Follow me. This isn't half-hearted. This isn't distant casual. This is a close following of the Savior. You see, that's why these Pharisees and these Jews, they knew the implications of this. And they didn't like it. because if Jesus is God, if he's one with the Father, we've got a problem. We've got a big problem. Because everything we've lived for, everything we've depended on, everything we've loved now changes. It changes completely. He becomes the way of life. Not what we've been doing before, not us, not what we want, but he does. We link arms with him. We're called to go where he goes and do what he does and follow his leading. And so the big question for us this morning is, are we followers of Jesus Christ? Or maybe firstly, do we believe that he is the Son of God? Are we walking in the light? Think about the past week. I mean, we've talked a little bit about that already at the beginning of the service, but think about the past week. Have we trusted him? Have we obeyed him? Have we served him? Have we followed him closely? And what about the sin in your life? What are you doing with it? What about our prayer life? What about our reading of the word? What about our fellowship with Christ? In other words, are there areas in your life and in my life that we are walking in darkness? We're kind of keeping a distance. Areas where we don't really care whether we're going to fall off the edge or bump our head into the rock. Again, I would urge all of us, as always, to see sin, to be open about sin, to be honest with our sin, and to repent of our sin before God, to know the forgiveness, and then to know the forgiveness we have in Christ, because he does forgive. He is a God who is rich in mercy. That's why he came. That's why he went to the cross. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And then walk in the light. Yes, it will not be your way. It will be his way. But it will be the way of light. And it will be good. It will be good. Perhaps you've never followed Jesus. Thought about it. Wondered what it would be like. Maybe you're scared off by the implications. Maybe you've said it with your mouth, yes, Jesus is God, but follow him? Maybe. Or pretend to follow him. Or keep it at arms distance, is linking arms with Jesus. I'm not sure about that. That's a bit too far. But you see the beauty of following Jesus? It's light. It's not darkness. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus invites you even this morning to come to him and to, yes, link arms with him, if I can use that analogy again, and walk in his light, because it will lead you to the way everlasting, to the way that is right and good and beautiful. Trust him. Trust who he is. Trust that he is the Son of God, and do what he says and live as he calls you to live. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you that you are God, and that you did and do your Father's will. We praise you for the light you are. And we pray for every soul here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you would work in each heart and soul, all those joining us online this morning as well, that you would touch each heart and that would be radically changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Gracious God and Father, we need you to work, and we need the scales to fall off our eyes. We need the light to see, well, to see that we are in darkness. We need to see that we are in darkness, that we might follow the light. Work mightily among us this morning to that end, and grant us by your grace to rejoice in the wonder of the light that is Jesus himself. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.